Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had better wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Monday on B&E. Grab an umbrella, some galoshes, and a rain jacket. The rain continues to come down as we start your Monday on B&E. Appreciate you being there. Hope you're being safe out there. Just got word of another flash flood watch. It's in effect as the ongoing rains continue to roll through Texas and South Central Texas and into Central Texas, and will throughout the course of the morning and into this afternoon as the wet weather continues. But what a sports weekend we were treated to. We have a lot to talk about. 4 hours of scintillating conversation begins right now. We'll certainly discuss Lefty's performance at Kiowa Island. What a scene yesterday on the Atlantic coast. It was an all-timer for sure. But a great sports weekend, great sports Sunday. We'll dive into all of it. NBA playoffs are out there. We've got Major League Baseball. We've got the Longhorns as a Big 12 champion and a national champion over the weekend. Austin FC played their sixth match, so we are jam-packed on this Monday, and we appreciate you finding us and being there with us up early. Early bird always gets the worm on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. We're always streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas. Of course, all those that fight for us each and every day, thank you for what you do. It is appreciated. As it is going to be rainy today and tomorrow, but hopefully by Wednesday, Thursday, by the end of the week, going into your holiday weekend, you're going to have a beautiful holiday. You really, really are. So you've suffered enough, I would think. My goodness.
I think we're saturated.
Oh, my God. I can tell you that. I am.
Well, it was the 1-2 punch. We had all those storms that moved through from the west to the east, and now this little tropical storm that whipped up out of the Gulf that's just never really formed, but it's dropping a lot of rain on Houston. We're coming in from the east and southeast. Let's just keep on coming, training through. So that will be the case this morning. So be careful on your way in again on a rush hour. Obviously, it was the weekend.
It's puddled up out there, too, so be careful hitting those spots now.
I had a couple loose spots on the way in,
man.
I promise you, because it's coming down and will continue to come down this morning. So be safe, and we'll be there with you talking about an incredible sports weekend, one of the better we've had in a long, long time. We had a whole year of being shut down, but this was, boy, the galleries at Kiowa Island yesterday were just incredible. When Phil Mickelson was walking up 18 to finish off a PGA championship, I mean, so many storylines there, but, one of the lead is just the visual buck of, thousands of people surrounding him. That obviously wouldn't have been possible not long ago.
No.
That was a cool scene yesterday. What a rock star Phil Mickelson is. And we'll talk about Lefty's performance. Also, a somewhat equally dramatic scene at the at Dishfalk Field on Saturday. Let's dive into your headlines. I don't want you all your thoughts on all these top stories, Buck. Let's get folks caught up with an incredibly busy weekend in sports. And there we go. Let's fire it up with the headlines brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. And we will start on the Atlantic coast with an historic scene yesterday in golf. 51-year-old Phil Mickelson pulled away from Brooks Koepka early, then hung on to win the PGA Championship by two strokes at Kiowa Island, South Carolina. And he becomes the oldest major winner in PGA Tour history, surpassing Julius Burrows, who won the 68 PGA Championship at 48 years old. Of course, Jack Nicklaus won the Masters at 46, but 51 now for Lefty. His second Wanamaker Trophy, his first since 05, his first major title of any kind since 2013. His last PGA Tour victory came in 2019. Just an iconic all-time scene yesterday. We'll talk about it throughout the course of the morning. Very wet, but overall cool scene. It's Circuit of the Americas yesterday over the weekend. It was Chase Elliott winning the inaugural Texas Grand Prix on the NASCAR Circuit at COTA in their debut. Elliott was the leader after 54 of the 68 scheduled laps completed. That's when NASCAR officials made the call to end the race due to poor track conditions and the threat of ongoing rain. Dramatics at the first round of the NBA playoffs yesterday. Game ones and across the East and the West. Madison Square Garden, the best finish. Trae Young knocked down a floater with 0.9 seconds left as Atlanta spoiled the Knicks' first home playoff game in 8 years, 107-105. Young finished with 31 points and 10 assists. Also yesterday in the East, top-seeded Philly topped Washington in Game 1. In the West, Phoenix held off the LA Lakers in Game 1, 99-90. And a stunner last night, Salt Lake City, Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant combined for 57 as the 8-seeded Memphis Grizzlies upset top-seeded Utah 112-109 in Game 1. Saturday's Game 1 winners included the Dallas Mavericks, who took down the LA Clippers 113-103. Denver, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn also up 1-0 in their series early. Major League Baseball, Texas Rangers broke out of their slump this weekend, got the brooms out, swept the Astros. Three straight, two of the three wins came in extra frames, including yesterday's 3-2 win. The rookie from Cuba, Adolis Garcia, had an infield single yesterday that scored Nick Solak with the game winner. Garcia also ended Friday night's game in the 10th inning with a 3-1 walk-off jack. Speaking of walk-off jacks, what a scene at UFC Udish Falk Field on Saturday. Second-ranked Texas baseball team Longhorns were comfortably in front of West Virginia in the rubber game of their three-game series, up 10-2. That's when word spread through the dish that up in Manhattan, Kansas, K-State had rallied for seven runs in the ninth inning, including a three-run walk-off home run to stun TCU 11-8. Place went crazy. Second-ranked Longhorns proceeded to run rule the Mountaineers 12-2. And they lock up the Big 12 regular season championship with that victory. They will be the number one seed in this week's Big 12 baseball tournament. Also on Saturday, Texas women's tennis team clinched the national championship with a 4-3 victory over Pepperdine in Orlando. Freshman Lulu Sun recorded the dramatic 3-set victory to clinch it for the Longhorns, the third national championship in that program's history, their first since 1995. And Austin FC was a 1-0 loser in Nashville last night. Their sixth straight match on the road, they fall to 2-4 on the young season.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
And there you go. What a weekend. It was a remote control flipping day yesterday. It was all over the place. You got to be here. You got to be there. You got to be watching Phil. Got to be watching baseball. Got to be watching the basketball, the racing. It was good. It's a good Sunday.
It was. There was a lot to be had for sure. And the scene with Phil and Koepka and all the golfers, and what a magnificent golf course there in South Carolina.
Oh.
What a hard and tough golf course, too. I can't even imagine that course if there's no wind, period. But you had to know where you're going to hit the ball at that course. For Phil to do that for 4 days was incredible. Really was. He really kept his composure because I actually thought at one time on Saturday that he would fold. When he was up by five strokes, I said, this is it. This is just going to be too unnerving for an old dude like this at 51 years old. And he hung right in there. It was the rest of the guys that kind of gagged it away. And, you know, between Koepka and a couple others that had opportunities, boy, they missed a lot of putts. That putting surface was really tough on them. Some guys weren't even close.
Well, in the end of the day, you know, Brooks Koepka, his putting is what cost him a chance at another championship. He putted terribly on Saturday. He struck ball better than anybody on Saturday. And if you saw it on Saturday, he finished his round and went straight to the putting green and was working on it. You know he was grinding on his putting. And it wasn't any better yesterday.
He was still.
And, you know, when your putting goes, it kind of affects your whole game, your mental state. I mean, because he missed a short two-footer early. Had that double on two, Brooks did. Brooks just never looked right.
Especially when you come up short. At that golf course, it looked like it was, you know, slicker than you know what, but it really wasn't. There were a lot of guys coming up really, really short on putts, like really short, like us short, like the nerves got to
them. Yeah, nerves. I mean, it's Major Sunday. And that scene, the galleries, I mean, we haven't seen those in a while. That was pretty awesome. I mean, that course is just spectacular. It's kind of like the Pebble Beach of the Atlantic Coast, you know?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Just the scenery and the ocean right there. And, yeah, very tough course. You know, at some point on Saturday, Phil Mickelson got it to 10 under. And he was running away with it. He was four strokes up. And you're thinking, man, Phil's going to walk away. But the course then, you know, the wind was blowing one direction the first 3 days. And then Sunday they show up and the winds had completely shifted the opposite way, 20, 25 miles an hour. So the course they had played for 3 days was all of a sudden a brand new course to them as far as the wind and how to manage it and which holes were easier and which holes were harder, which added to the drama. But in the end, Phil was just cool as he could be.
Well, he hit a lot of bombs, too.
Oh, he and his brother talking through shots.
He hit a lot of long bombs out there. You know, when they talked about position golf, Phil got up there, and a couple times his feet were off the ground when he swung on some of the drives.
He was ripping it.
Yeah, he was ripping it. He was
51
ripping
years
Koepka.
Old, man. Yeah, well, he had the longest drive of 366 on one of the holes coming home with the wind behind him. It was pretty awesome. And by the way, we're excited. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Phil Mickelson's short game guru, his short game coach, Dave Pels. The legendary Dave Pels will be with us to talk about Phil's performance. Did he see this coming in preparation? You know, Phil, you know, the last you know, seemed like he was off to the Champions Tour. Seemed like he was focused on business ventures and some other things, and maybe golf. You know, his best golf was in the past, but that clearly he rededicated himself. He's got his body looks great. He looks younger than we've seen him looking in a long time at 51. And you know, it was mentioned yesterday, I think, by Jim Nantz that winning this tournament, he now has 5 years of exemptions for all the majors. He's about to lose those exemptions because he hadn't won a major in so long. He now gets a chance to play at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. And think about that next big story, Buck. Father's Day weekend in a month, he'll get to go back home.
Looking for the Grand Slam, huh?
Yeah, but of course, the U.S. Open's always eluded Phil. He's never had one. He's won the Masters. He's won the PGA Championship now twice. He's won the Open Championship. Never the U.S. Open. And what a storyline that will be next month. And that's his hometown. He's from San Diego. They're playing at Torrey Pines. He said after the match he's going to play the Colonial this week. Phil's going to Dallas. He'll be in Dallas to play at the Colonial. He's already committed to that. He'll tee off on Thursday. And then he said he's going to take 2 weeks off and go to Torrey and just try to sharpen it.
Yeah.
Work on the game, work on the course. And you know that's now his bar because...
It'll all be mental from this point on because there's nothing physically about these courses that he can't deal with because he carves all kinds of shots. He hits all kinds. He makes all kinds of shots from different angles and everything else. It's kind of the old Phil, but with a little bit calmer than he was before. He doesn't take as many chances. Well, at that golf course, I don't think you could take a bunch of chances. You'd be in trouble.
Well, you have to take advantage of the wind holes where you got it behind you so you can bomb it out there, but you got to be accurate. You got to put it because offline it's way gone. Might hit it into the ocean if you're not careful. Well, listen to this. This was hilarious. So Phil Mickelson on his TikTok channel, because, you know, Phil is kind of a social media darling.
People love him.
People love Phil. This is why the crowd was so big. And Phil is just, you know, they call him the people's champion because he's accessible. And so as he's, picture this scene because you can't see it on radio, but he's in the parking lot walking. And here's what he says. The recipe is for a victory today. This was yesterday before his Sunday round to clinch his first major in a long, long time. Here was Phil Mickelson.
Today's formula for victory is going to be C squared equals B plus HS equals I and V. What does that mean? Well, C squared is coffee. You couple that with calves and you have exponential performance. That equals B plus HS, which is bombs and hellacious seas, which equals I and V. Intimidation and victory.
He's just such a goof, man. And
talk about his coffee, how much
and
coffee
his calves,
he's
you know, because his calves have become famous because you see Phil without shorts and without pants, and he's wearing the shorts. He's got great formed calves for a 51-year-old male. But he, you know, I thought that was a glimpse into his confidence, how loose he was, that he was just enjoying the moment. He and his brother's on his bag, and those guys talking through shots and, you know, staying focused. And that was cool. That was a cool scene for sure, an all-time moment with, you know, obviously it harkens you back to Tiger a couple years ago, winning the Masters when you didn't even expect, came out of nowhere.
Yeah, two old dudes getting it done.
Yeah, Jack Nicklaus, 1986 at 46, and now Phil, 51 and 21 at Kiowa. What was he, 300-1 odds in Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
300-1 odds. I mean, that's pretty crazy, and he goes on to win the championship, and he will be the favorite at the U.S. Open. He will be the one everyone's rooting for in San Diego at Torrey Pines in a month.
Well, I know this. Brooks Koepka will not be because he was a whiny little bitch during the course of that whole thing after him. What a weird loser he was yesterday. I mean, what are you, 12 years old? I mean, I know you came off a knee surgery, but it's not like you're a 70-year-old man coming off a knee surgery. Get through the crowd, go about your business, and not whine about somebody trying to grab your leg. I mean, that guy was a real sore loser. You know what he reminded me of? That, like, those two are like Aaron Rodgers and Brooks Koepka are just alike. I mean, they're just like sore, and they're winners.
You put Kyrie Irving in there, too. You got Brooks.
And they're winners. That's the thing about it. They're winners, but they're sore winners. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've never won anything, and the reason I didn't win because of my knee. If your knee bothers you that bad, then don't play.
Well, he was complaining about the crowds.
He was complaining about his knee, too.
Well, that's where he was getting bumped, as the gallery was rushing to follow Phil.
No. He said if his knee wasn't bothering him, he thought, I mean, come on. Well, if it's bothering you that bad, don't show up to play. Don't give me, oh, I'm the hero. No. If you're going to be the hero, then shut up. If you're then going to blame it on your knee, then you shouldn't play. Then you're not ready to play. And that's just weird. That whole that was weird by him yesterday.
Yeah, clearly he was he was frustrated with his own performance because he was not playing well. He wasn't putting well. That has nothing to do with your knee. His putting was terrible all weekend. I think he was, out of the 81 golfers yesterday, he was 80th in strokes gained on the greens.
Wow.
I mean, he was bad. His putting was really bad.
Yeah, that doesn't
bad.
Make you feel good.
And so he's frustrated. And yeah, then there's these huge crowds, and they're pushed. You're getting jostled. You're getting pushed. And if your knee's not stable, you're kind of, you know, whatever. That was not a good look for him, for sure. And, you know, second year in a row, you know, he was at the PGA Championship on the chance to win again last year, and Colin Morikawa beat him out in San Francisco, and Koepka shot 74 that Sunday as well.
Has he been on the end of a couple losing deals? Like, when Tiger was winning, was he close that year and just had to watch? I think he did.
He was there. He was there at the Masters.
Right at the top, right?
Yeah, he was one of the guys collapsing on Sunday. Louis Oosthuizen yesterday, and Phil, but look, and Brooks. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the course got the best of everybody yesterday. I mean, no one was posting low numbers yesterday.
No.
It was a challenge, and even Phil Mickelson just trying to hold on there at the end and finish those last few holes, and finishes at 6-under. But what a weekend. What a scene. We'll take your thoughts on it. It was part of an incredible weekend.
You know, one thing is, if Louis can't putt, then you got a problem with the rest of them.
Yeah.
And he, on Saturday, how can every putt come up 2 feet short? I mean, his Saturday was like, okay, I'm thinking – after about four holes of him coming up short, I said, oh, he's got it dialed in. It's right there. And he kept coming up 2 feet short. It was the wildest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, they were having a hard time. And if you play golf, you know when it's windy, the wind does affect your putts. I mean, even when you're putting into the wind,
yes.
I mean, it's hard to judge that. You're trying to hit your normal putt, but all of a sudden the wind's slowing it down or pushing your ball. That was a big part of that Lynx golf course. And there were times over the weekend, it was like a British Open. With the wind blowing like it was off the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, if you didn't know where they were playing, you would have thought it was a British Open course.
Yeah, it did. Beautiful place, though. What a scene. Phil Mickelson, the winner, in his glasses and his
he didn't have his long shirt on.
He didn't.
Because he's got some guns going now.
He was knocking it down. We'll hear from Phil Mickelson coming up, talking about the wind, what it means, and where he's at 51 years old. We will talk to Dave Pels, his short game guru, his coach, who lives here in Central Texas.
Which I heard him say, talk about Pels throughout the entire day,
yeah.
When it came to chipping and his different wedges.
Yeah.
He says the Pels. I'm like, which one is that one?
Yeah. No, he and Dave Pels spent hours working on that short game and those chip shots, and heck, the bunker shot on five that hold out was, you know, at the end of the day, maybe the difference between that and Brooks Koepka, by the way, in addition to his putting, played the par fives terribly yesterday. He had a double bogey and two bogeys in the par five.
And he was right there.
Which normally he gobbles up, and that can be attributed to some wayward shots, but really the greens were just bad to him. So that was fun to watch this weekend for sure. We'll get into the NASCAR race because I know there's a lot of great reviews from folks who made it out there, but unfortunate they couldn't finish the race yesterday
rain. Gee, the rain gets him.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. But I talked to some folks who were out there who said it was an absolute blast. I mean, it was packed. Every parking lot was packed. The crowds showed up and were energetic all weekend. And in the end, there was just, you know, it got too rainy and the heavier stuff came and wasn't going to stop. So they finished the race. But I thought they you know, for the weather challenges, it came off pretty good. And we'll take your thoughts if you were part of that huge crowd out there at Circuit of the Americas this weekend. Also, if you were a part of the crowd at Dish Falk Field, that was a really great scene on Saturday. Congratulations to David Pierce and the Texas baseball team. Tried to get David, Coach Pierce, on the show this morning, but he's going to be on with us tomorrow, I believe, to talk about a Big 12 championship for the Texas Longhorns. They've got practice today because they're headed up to Oklahoma City for the Big 12 tournament, so we won't be able to talk to Coach today. We'll talk to him tomorrow, but what a scene. You know, we talked on Friday. It was about that Thursday night disappointing loss, right? The one-run loss to West Virginia. You thought, man, if they don't win the Big 12 regular season, it'll be that game that they will think about because they had so many chances to beat the Mountaineers. And then they turn around and win Friday night's game, and they're comfortably up 10-2 on Saturday. They're cruising to a victory, but it felt like it was going to be hollow because you're looking at the scoreboard and, you know, K-State's way behind TCU. You know, TCU's up 7-2 or whatever the score was, comfortably in control. You're thinking, okay, well, you know, we're going to finish second. And then next thing you know, the K-State Wildcats on senior day rally for eight runs in the ninth. And then a senior at K-State hits a walk-off three-run jack to win the game and up in Manhattan. And obviously TCU's now lost. And everybody, the word gets back to the dish, and the Dish Falk Field erupts. Occupy Left Field goes crazy and starts telling all the players, hey, TCU just lost. And Texas goes on to win it. Zach Zubia with a game-winning hit to run rule the Mountaineers. And what a scene. Congratulations to Coach Pierce.
They had taken a beat down on Saturday, too. Did they ever?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever felt like a team was going to win a Big 12 championship like I did over the last month with this team. And I'm saying it's still there. It's still there. You got to just do what you have to do to win. They lost on Friday. They won Saturday and Sunday. And still, it was just weird. I just thought that they would win a championship, a Big 12 championship. And those players just did all the things that they were supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. You have to take every game and every opportunity that you have. I mean, every bat counts. And believe me, TCU understands that for sure now.
They certainly do.
Now, is that a tie with TCU, or is that a...
Yeah, TCU gets a co-championship.
Even though you've won the series versus them, you beat them in the series, that didn't make them the champs?
It's silly, but it's a co-championship situation.
That's
Texas
strange.
Shares it. But they are the one seed. So when they go to Oklahoma City this week, Texas is the one seed, TCU is the two. So they still keep score there. Longhorns are the top seed at the tournament.
Another ring.
Yeah, another ring. That's 13 now. 13 Big 12 championships this year for Texas athletics.
And the ladies? Tennis?
Ladies
14?
Make 14? No, that was a national. They had already won the Big 12. That was part of the 13.
So we get another one for the
Texas
Natty?
Women's tennis has already won the Big 12 championship. The Texas women's tennis team in Orlando on Saturday won the national championship, the Natty, over Pepperdine.
Awesome.
So congratulations to them. And to your point about the Longhorns, you know, that's what we said on Friday morning amid the disappointment of Game 1's loss to West Virginia, that they just didn't play up to their standard. They didn't play to their bar. But typically when Texas has a rough game, they respond. They're resilient. And they turned around and pounded West Virginia back-to-back games and, you know, played their brand of baseball. And that's what you really like about this team when you talk about its ceiling and moving forward. When they do face some adversity, this group rises up and play to their standard. And they did not in Game 1 on Thursday night. Ty Madden didn't pitch like his normal self. The hitting was, you know, they left some runners out there and were their own worst enemy with the bats at times. And you know, they responded to that. And as you said, you know, as Augie Garrido used to tell us, do right by the game and the game will do right by you.
Mm-hmm.
Texas arguably didn't do right by the game on Thursday night. They did not play their normal sharp baseball. And they lost, and then they turn around and pound. But they responded by doing right by the game and playing two really solid games to beat West Virginia and just pummel them. And then, you know, yeah, K-State did them a big favor. Wildcats did them a huge favor in Manhattan, rallied for a big win, and the Longhorns are Big 12 champions. And so a fun season.
And this is a crescendo as they move on.
Now,
they're really playing their best.
And this is Texas, and Texas baseball. So now the big stuff really matters.
That's right.
Bars high, Omaha, and doing well in Omaha is the expectation. We talked about this with Shaka Smart and Texas basketball. You know, winning the Big 12 tournament's great, but the madness of March is when you're going to be judged as a college basketball team.
Right.
Texas baseball teams in its history, it'll be this team is a good one, and you know, at this point has done some great things, but Texas baseball teams are judged on runs to Omaha and then, you know, excelling in Omaha. And Texas, this group right here with David Pierce, has an opportunity to do just that. All right, want your thoughts. The good, the bad, and the ugly from an incredible sports weekend. It was across the spectrum. We'll get to the NBA playoffs. And how about the Dallas Mavericks big win? How about your guy Trae Young yesterday at the Garden at Madison Square Garden, a dagger to the Knicks fans that gathered there, including Spike Lee.
You ought to stop that guy from coming down the lane somehow.
Yeah, you might want to play some defense there.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. The weekend that was, congratulations to all the graduates. The commencement was a pretty great scene at the football stadium, I thought, on Saturday. So all in all, even though it was a wet one, really fun sports weekend that we'll be chewing on all morning long right here on the Horn, just getting warmed up, live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app, streaming on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Sure is, B&E, with you on a tremendous Monday, wet Monday. Be careful out there. Slick streets, obviously. The rain continues to come down and will continue all day today. As Buck mentioned, there's light at the end of the rain tunnel on Wednesday. It looks like we start to clear out and should be good into next weekend, but got to get there first. And
heck, it was a beautiful Friday.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Pretty on Friday. And then here came the rain on Saturday, late Saturday and into Sunday, and the Texas baseball game itself got backed up to 5 o'clock to try to get behind those Saturday storms, and they did a nice job to get that game in. And by the way, speaking of the rain, congratulations to the Texas softball team, who through delay after delay finally finished last night and beat Oregon over at McCombs Field, and they are advancing to the Super Regional round of the NCAA Women's Softball Tournament. They got that win last night for Coach Mike White, so the athletic success continues as the Texas women's softball team headed to the Super Regional round of 16. In softball. So that's great as well for them. Texas baseball on its way to the Big 12 baseball tournament. And the national championship for the tennis team. At some point, I guess this week, they'll have the Light the Tower Orange. I will say that watching some of the commencement on Saturday night, the graduation ceremony, they moved it into the football stadium and the new south end zone. That looked pretty cool with the south end zone lit up and the new, you know, how the Bevo is kind of carved into the stands, and they light that thing up. I mean, that is very, that's a great photo op when they get an aerial photo of the crowd, and obviously you get a little glimpse of what's coming for football season with the new south end zone completion. I thought that was pretty cool as well. And congratulations to all the graduates of 2021. Actually attended a couple of graduation parties over the weekend, Buck. That was part of the weekend, driving around, getting to high school and college graduation. So congrats to all those young scholars out there getting her done.
Yeah, getting it done through a very tough time.
Yes. Yeah, challenging and new challenges. Mm-hmm. But Bob Iger, the commencement speaker, the head of Disney, who's got a son that was graduating UT, he said, go be bold. Go be bold.
Well, this is the time.
This is the time.
This is the time to step out there. If you want to make a statement, it looks like the time to try to make that statement, whether you're a group or individuals, because at some point it will start to settle back down.
Yeah, man.
And you'll fall back into the same kind of deal you're used to. So be bold.
Be bold.
Go make that attempt to be somebody extra special right now.
And Phil Mickelson
and make
did
a
just
difference.
That.
By the way, make a difference too.
No question. No question. In a good way, right?
That's right.
Go be bold and be.
That's right. Make a difference.
Positive. And Phil Mickelson did that over the weekend. Who would have thought Phil could rededicate himself, refocus himself? Because what we saw over the weekend for Phil for 4 days was not. That's not just a flash in the pan. Clearly, he had.
No. He had a plan.
Yeah, he had a plan. He focused in. He got his body right. He got his mind right. He had his game sharp, and he went in there expecting to win. I think you could tell. And you know, it surprised everybody else, but not Phil. And that, you know, you didn't see the hours and hours and days of preparation for that event, but which showed up over the weekend. Can we hear Phil talking about his brother's help? He's got his brother on his bag now. You know, Bones was his caddy for so long, but he's retired from caddying, and now it's his brother, which is really a cool. And that's why I point to next month when he goes back home to San Diego with his brother on his bag and a chance to win the U.S. Open and finish the career Grand Slam. It's going to be a huge story in the sports world. But here's Phil yesterday after the win talking about his brother's help coming down the stretch.
I'll tell you, a perfect example was, and this is an intangible that makes him relatable or understand me, get the best out of me, and makes him a great caddy. As I'm walking off six, I had made some uncommitted swings the first six holes. I had been striking the ball awesome the first 3 days. I had a wonderful warm-up session. Like, I was ready to go, and I made some uncommitted swings the first six holes, and he pulled me aside, and he said, look, if you're going to win this thing, you are going to have to make committed golf swings. Kind of hit me in the head, like, yeah, I can't make passive control-y. I can't control the outcome. I've got to swing committed. First swing I made was that drive on seven. Good drive on seven. Gave me a chance to get down by the green, make birdie, and from there on, I hit a lot of really good shots because I was committed to each one.
All right,
Phil, that's for sure. You could see the ones that he was uncommitted, those half swings and those off balance swings. It was like, I'm just trying to aim at a spot and hit it, but I'm not taking the regular swing. I'm trying to do it in a different way. And his brother was right, because there was a spot there where he just started to go south on you a little bit, and then went back to being committed to all his swings, and that kind of was the difference, really.
As even as a hacker like us, you can take something out of that.
You can see the change.
I think we all, if you play any golf at all, an uncommitted swing leads to it starts with a lack of confidence. You're not trusting it. Yeah. You're not sure.
I know. On Friday, I had 72 of those.
72
uncommitted
swings.
Yeah, very uncommitted.
That's the worst, and that's why golf is a roller coaster, because some days you just feel great over the ball. You can't wait to strike it. Everything feels good. It's just in line. And then some days it feels like the club is a foreign object in your hand and you don't commit to it. But that was part of the good of the weekend. Certainly plenty of good. Boy, there was some dramatic stuff. I mean, gosh, in the Ranger Astro series, get out the brooms. Adolis Garcia, the young, the rookie Cuban, with a walk-off homer on Friday and then a walk-off hit yesterday. Rangers sweep the Astros. In the NBA, we had NBA playoffs. We had buzzer beaters. Chris Middleton with the step-back floater. For the Bucks to beat Miami in Game 1, Trae Young with the floater, Luka Doncic was awesome on Saturday, and the Mavericks win over the LA Clippers. And I'll ask this of Isaiah Collier of the NBA playoffs. Are the Lakers in trouble? You know, LeBron James has never lost a first-round playoff series in his career. He's 14-0 in the first round, wherever he's played. But this Phoenix Suns team, you know, they're the 2 seed. The Lakers are the 7, and I know it's one game. You don't want to make too much out of one game in a 7-game series, but I thought Phoenix looked really strong in their victory yesterday. DeAndre Ayton, the big man, he was better than Anthony Davis yesterday.
Well, he's incredible. Isn't he, Zay, on the boards? I mean, that guy, like, sweeps it off the board. Like, you're not getting it. This is mine.
Yeah, you got to see why he was the number one pick a few years ago
for
over
sure.
Luka. And Chris Paul got hurt yesterday, so keep an eye on that.
Wait a minute. Just a little bump, right?
No, he hurt his shoulder to where he wouldn't even take shots yesterday.
Oh, no.
Here come the playoffs. Here comes an injury for CP3. That's about par for the course.
Well, that Phoenix team's talking about being committed. They're committed, and so is Memphis. I mean, isn't it? They look kind of committed, don't
no,
they?
No, I mean, that's... I mean, I think when you saw on Friday night with their win over Golden State, and then last night they beat Utah.
Yeah.
Future of this
Most
league.
Fearless.
Future of this league is Ja Morant. That dude is unbelievable. I mean, I know he went behind Zion in the draft. I mean, it was Zion, then Ja. Ja is a baller, and it's a perimeter-oriented game right now. It's a guard-dominated league. And
he looks like one of those players, Zay, that as time goes on, he doesn't have to get bigger and more physical. He's just smooth.
Yeah.
And his quickness just gets him right by. He doesn't have to gain 10 more pounds. He's already just fast enough, you know?
Yeah, it's weird because people compare him to the most athletic point guards in NBA history, like Russell Westbrook and Derrick Rose.
But they're bigger and stronger.
Yeah, he doesn't remind me of that as much. Yeah, he could get up for, you know, alley-oops, and he has a lot of hops and whatnot, but his point guard skills are elite.
He looks like a taller Iverson.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That you can knock him around. Okay, knock him around, but he's still going to get his shot off, and he's still going to get to the hole, so...
Yeah, they're a handful because he's great. And Dylan Brooks is the kid from Oregon who's come along, and he's having a great run here too. So NBA playoffs were fun over the weekend. Just game ones, plenty of time. But always good to see those buzzer beaters to get things rolling, get your blood flowing in the sports landscape. And we've got those over the weekend, which was pretty cool as well. So we'll get to all of it. Phil Mickelson, I guess, I mean, outside of the hole out on five out of the bunker, there weren't just all a bunch of dramatic shots because the course was so tough. The wind was up. The conditions were difficult. There were more bad shots than good shots yesterday when you take all that plus the pressure. But just the scene of Phil Mickelson in those glasses and just being cool as he could be was pretty cool to see, man.
A lot of thumbs up. Got from Arnie.
I think it was whoever was walking with him kept pointing out just how slow his pace is. Like everything's clearly that was planned. Like,
it did seem to take a long time, didn't it?
Yeah, well, he just didn't want to rush anything. And you could tell Phil had a plan up for everything. We'll ask Dave Pels about this, you know, coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. Dave knows Phil as well as anybody as his short game coach. But, you know, you could tell his comment about his brother slowing him down a little bit or get him committed. He had a plan on a routine of how he's his walking pace and just how he was going to approach every shot. And Phil didn't do it, and that's why I point out again the U.S. Open coming up in a month because you know this was about this and that because he didn't have an exemption, by the way, to the U.S. Open. If he didn't win this weekend, Buck, he wouldn't have been playing in his hometown at the U.S. Open. His exemptions were up, and so he had to win this to get into the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. Part of me thinks that this was part of a greater plan for him. We'll see what a storyline it would be because with Tiger on the sidelines, obviously the biggest draw in golf is Phil Mickelson.
Oh, yeah, for sure right now. Because when we were waiting for Jordan Spieth to do something, that golf course was just too difficult for him.
Yes.
I said it in the beginning, he can scramble, but where he was putting it, it was hard to scramble from.
It certainly was.
Some bad places on that golf course. When you're half in grass and half in sand and hidden behind a clump of grass on shots that would be wayward off it's a tough golf course, period, for everybody. But Jordan, when he went wayward, he just got himself in a lot of trouble. And that's why I don't think Phil will be close either the next one.
You don't?
It's just too much after you win. The 4 days of the pressure that those guys put, it's hard to go back to back to back. And he's going to play again this week.
Yeah, he is. And then 2 weeks off. And then he's taking 2 weeks off up to the Father's Day weekend when the U.S. Open will be down.
This is where I'll take Finau, the next one.
I will not.
No, not at all.
It'll be interesting because there's a look in Phil's eye after the round yesterday talking about San Diego and Torrey Pines, and he's already got a plan for this. He's already got a game plan in place of how he's going to attack the next 3 weeks to get ready for that golf tournament.
Sure, Jordan had a plan too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Phil just showed you he could execute it when he wanted to. But, yeah, a lot of questions.
It's hard.
And you know what's cool is the next major in a month is on the West Coast. So we'll get that always fun nighttime golf. We'll get the primetime golf when they go to Torrey Pines. And, you know, I believe the last time they played the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines was the classic Tiger Woods versus Rocco Mediate showdown that went all the way to Monday. And Tiger, of course, was playing on one leg.
Sort of like Brooks.
Well, yeah, ask him. Brooks Koepka.
He'll let you know.
Brooks Koepka. All right, so that's the golf. That was a huge part of the good national championship for the Texas tennis team. And we'll get some thoughts on the NASCAR race out at COTA. What did you make of Austin FC last night playing in Nashville? They lose 1-0.
Disappointing. They're starting to look more like a team that's an expansion team. You can't score.
Yeah, they don't have any finishers. Sorry. Closers.
Yeah, you don't have closers. You don't have speed on the outside. You've got a defensive team that plays an awful lot of defense and not enough offense. But you had some opportunities last night. It was 1-0 to a team that's undefeated. But that team that you lost to hadn't scored goals either. They had a bunch of 0-0 games. But nice scene in Nashville with a brand-new stadium. Their stadium looks awesome,
yeah,
too.
So I think that's what I took from it. I mean, the game itself, 1-0, but it's a glimpse of what's coming. There's a lot of energy in Nashville.
Oh, my goodness.
Live music, the scene coming back open, and they had a packed house.
Dude, MLS with the crowds have done really well so far this year with crowds coming back.
Yeah. Well, guess what? They were now June 19th, right around the weekend of the U.S. Open is when the Austin FC will be back for their inaugural game at Q2 Stadium.
I just worry this team will be 2-6 when they come back.
They might be. They're 2-4 now.
Yeah.
And I saw where the waiting list for season tickets for the FC is now over 21,000.
Oh, yeah.
21,000 people in line to buy tickets. And couple things. There's going to be, I think, a report this morning, or at least an announcement, that Austin FC expects full capacity for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no surprise. We're seeing it. I mean, we saw full capacity for Texas baseball. We saw full capacity out of COTA.
Tell me this. Why in Madison Square Garden? I know New York and back east is a little bit different with the COVID stuff, but you know, they had the capacity is 19,000. They had 15. If you're going to go 15, why don't you just go full capacity? Why don't you just go full capacity? What is the deal with going 15 in a 19,000 seat stadium? Why don't you just go?
It's interesting too, Buck, because they had a vaccinated section and a non-vaccinated section.
What?
Also, yeah, in New York, they did that.
It's interesting.
While Utah. Full capacity.
Full. Well,
it was
I mean,
rocking.
Different. Yeah, and they were packed, and of course, Memphis spoiled the party in game one. You wonder if Utah, a little layoff issue, but
sure.
Memphis got him. All right, we come back. When we do, we will continue these conversations, taking your good, bad, and ugly from the weekend. Weather continues to be ugly, so be careful on the highways and byways. If you're up and out this morning, give yourself a little extra time and be safe out there. We'll also have your BNA fact of the day. There are a ton of them from the weekend. A lot of things went down. We're taking it from talking with you about it here on BNA. First, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, what a weekend. Weather's not so hot, but the sports was red hot over the weekend, or were red hot. And I don't know, just a lot of cool scenes over the weekend, Buck. Cool scenes. The scene of Phil Mickelson at 18 yesterday, I thought was pretty iconic along the Atlantic Ocean. And the crowd and the galleries. Brooks Koepka didn't like it. He was getting bumped around a little bit.
Such a baby.
Brooks, he was getting bumped.
Quit being a baby.
Come on, Brooks.
You're a competitor. You're a young guy. Oh, my knee. Really? Don't play then. If your knee's that bad, don't play. Wait till your knee's better. It's a game of a lot of torque on your knee. So when you step, you know, he's the guy who thinks that I can beat the half the field already. You know, some of his statements, no matter what, when I go out there, half the field is not better than I am, period. So I'm just playing against half of the field anyway, okay? So if you go out there and your knee's not ready, don't complain about your knee at the end.
True enough. He did say on Thursday that the knee's just going to be the knee. He knew it wasn't 100%,
right,
but he was out there. But, yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I guess I can see him being frustrated with getting bounced around. And
oh, I can see him being frustrated with the way he putted and the way he hit some of the balls.
Yeah, I think he was more frustrated with his performance, but yes.
And he's dropping F-bombs and S-bombs. I mean, really?
Yes.
Really, dude?
But the scene itself was iconic for golf. And do we have this day? Can we play Jack Nicklaus? Jack Nicklaus jumped on the video. This is how great social media is. You know, the downfall of society sometimes can be cool. Jack Nicklaus was able to fire up a video and post it and send it to his friend Phil Mickelson. Of course, yesterday was Shades of Jack in 86 winning at Augusta National. Here was Jack Nicklaus with his thoughts about watching Phil Mickelson win the PGA Championship.
Phil, Jack here. Fantastic golf this week at Kiawa. You played great. You didn't make any dumb mistakes, which is, you know, the whole key to winning a major championship. You played the golf course, even dangerous as it is, you played it very, very well. My congratulations to you. And you know, there's something sort of strikes me that 50 years old is older than 46. Well done, my friend. Nice go. Many more. Good luck.
Good old luck. Timer goes, don't make any dumb mistakes.
Yeah, he did not.
Didn't make any dumb mistakes.
Tiger Woods had a nice tweet congratulating Phil Mickelson as well. So that was a great scene. I thought the scene at Madison Square Garden yesterday was pretty outstanding with his, 15,000, but still Spike Lee and all the celebrities on the court side. And it was heated, man. You had a great game. The Hawks and the Knicks went back and forth. And, Knicks made some big shots. And then, in the end, it was Trae Young, the young guy out of Oklahoma. Had 31 points and 10 assists, and he had the floater to win the game.
God, he got right through two dudes. Come on, you can't let that guy go through the lane.
0.9 seconds, and then afterwards, here's what he had to say about shutting up the Knicks fans, including Spike Lee.
I think it was, you've been in the biggest stages. When you're in a zone, and everybody's chanting F you. I don't know if any of y'all had that, but I've had it a couple times. I had it in college, and I had it again tonight, so. It got real quiet at the end, and for me, I wanted to hear those FU chants again.
There you go. He was savoring the New York crowd and the heckling and the jeering from the Knicks fans. That was cool. That was a great scene.
Say, that was too easy, wasn't it, for him to break through the two guys? And
yeah, it was too easy. They shouldn't let that dude from Norman get anywhere he wants to.
He should have got slammed right there and go to the free throw line, and then you get the ball back, right?
1,000%. He's already corrupting the league by making officials call these ridiculous fouls on them. It's the most bogus call in the league. He'll get past a guy, then he'll wait for him, and then he'll shoot it, and then have somebody kind of run into his
and
back,
then he'll fall.
And he gets that call every single time, man. It's very annoying that a kid from Norman makes those moves.
I will say, watching that game down the stretch, I'll admit I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched the last 5 minutes, and it was exciting. And on three or four previous possessions, he was dishing to open three-point shooters. I mean, he would get to the lane, he would get where he wants, and he was dishing out to, who was the kid knocking down all the three? Bogdanovich? Was knocking down all the threes, and so if you're the Knicks, you're thinking, man, we can't give up the threes. He's passing more than he's shooting, and then the game winner, he went right down the lane and just a little floater, and there's no rim protection right there for that shot. I thought Chris Middleton's shot on Saturday was equally compelling with the Bucks in the Heat game. That was a good basketball game. I think the lead was ever more than like 4 points in that game. It went back and forth, and in the end, Chris Middleton hit a little step-back floater. And the Bucks took game one of that series. So that was a cool scene. How about the scene, if you see the video now, by the way, in our coach's corner coming up next hour, we'll take you into the scene at Dish Falk Field on Saturday when the Longhorns clinched a Big 12 regular season championship. I thought that was really cool. But the Texas women's tennis team that won a national championship over the weekend, the Natty, they were playing Pepperdine. They're at the tennis center there in Orlando. And it's 3-3, right? You play matches. So each side had won three. So the deciding seventh match, this young freshman, Lulu Sun for Texas, this match took like 3.5 hours. I mean, it went on and it went on and went on. And this is how close it was to winning or losing the national championship. And the sheer emotion when Texas finally won and Lulu Sun won her match was just incredible. I mean, 3.5 hours of just back and forth drama. That was also fantastic. So a great weekend. We'll get to the NASCAR scene at COTA and your thoughts on it, the other great scenes of the weekend. But right now, let's get to your B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
It's got to be Phil Mickelson wins the PGA Championship. There was only one other time that any major champion had a lower world golf ranking than Phil Mickelson yesterday. One other time. Phil Mickelson was 115th in the world golf rankings entering the tournament and won it. Only one other major champion had a lower world golf ranking than Phil did this weekend. Could you name him? That will be the answer to your B&E Fact of the Day on the other side. Be safe out there, folks. We are live. We are local. We are digital. We're always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.